My guess is that if you've grown up in any sort of religious environment, you've probably heard this statement at least a time or two, that God loves you just the way you are. That this singular statement has been a cornerstone to the kind of God that we have and the kind of love that he has for every single one of us. No matter who you are, what you walked in here carrying, the mistakes you've made, or how far gone you feel, that there is a God who is for you and a God who loves you right in the middle of all of that. I mean, when we look in God's love letter, the instruction manual that he's given to you and I, and we flip to one of the most famous passages of all time, the one that's been held up behind countless goalposts at football games, we turn to this statement that John repeats that Jesus said when he walked on this earth in John chapter 3, verse 16. We get a clear picture that this statement reverberates in every single one of our stories. That God so loved you. He so loved me that while we were still sinning, while we were still turning our backs on the God of the universe, he loved us enough to send his son to die for us. That's who our God is. That's how much he loves us. And that truth carries significant weight in every single one of our lives. But that truth is only half of the equation. You see, what I believe with all of my heart is that while God loves us right where we are, we also have a God that loves us too much to leave us where we are. A God who loves us in the midst of our brokenness, and yet a God who doesn't want us to stay broken. A God who loves us in the midst of our mistakes, and yet doesn't want us to continue to make mistakes into our future. A God who is so for us that, as we'll come to discuss and find out, maybe a heavenly Father that loves us enough to be willing to challenge us to move us from the places that we're stuck in our lives. But more on that in just a minute. My name is Ben. If we haven't had the pleasure of meeting before, I'm the lead pastor here at CORE. And like Josh said just a couple of minutes ago, we are so incredibly excited that each and every one of you are here with us as we dive into celebrating all of the ladies in our lives and what they bring to our lives, but also as we continue this discussion that we're calling Paper Walls. You see, last weekend, Josh did an absolutely incredible job at launching this series and beginning to introduce this concept of excuses into every single one of our lives. And as we move through this series, we'll week after week return back to this exact same truth and reality that exists in every single one of our lives and in every single one of our stories. And it's this: that as we move forward in our lives, there are some healthy, beneficial things that all of us should continue to carry that will ultimately benefit our future. But also, there are some things that exist in every single one of our lives and in every single one of our stories that we should choose to leave behind for the sake of our future. Because there are things that all of us are carrying that don't benefit our lives and our futures, and yet they've become habits to us. They've become a part of our nature so much so that we just continue to carry them every single day of our lives. And one of those such things that all of us should choose to leave behind for the sake of our future are excuses. You see, all of us in our lives, when it comes to next steps and every facet of our lives, have become accustomed to carrying around excuses with us. And those excuses are like paper walls. From a distance, they look real. From a distance, they look like obstacles or barriers that are standing in our way. From a distance, each of those excuses actually look like real, legitimate reasons. Pretty viable reasons why we shouldn't do it or why it will never work, and so it's not worth doing it. And over time, these excuses that become reasons ultimately become our becauses. the because's that explain why we didn't do what we knew we should do, why we didn't take the step we knew we were being called to take, the things that have held us back from going to the next level in some facet of our lives, be it our marriage, be it our parenting, be it our career, be it our finances, or be it our faith. That every single one of us have these things that we carry. And when the questions rise in our minds or from the people that love us most, questions like, well, why don't you exercise? We all have because's. Because I really need the drying rack in the basement that was once termed a treadmill. Why didn't you stop? Because at that stage in my life, I really needed that addiction, that distraction in my life to take my mind off of that. Why didn't you get plugged in and start serving? Well, because I just didn't have enough time. Why aren't you generous? Well, because I just don't have enough right now. Why didn't you take the step or take the risk in your life? Because it just wasn't the right time. You see, excuses are just lies that we tell ourselves about ourselves. I'm not good enough. I'm not qualified. I'm too busy. I don't have enough. Some other time will be a better time for me to try in my life. And our biggest problem is that after a while, as the excuses that are really reasons begin to pile up in our lives that are just lies that we tell ourselves about ourselves, after a while, we actually start to believe those lies. We actually start to chalk them up as truth in our lives, and they become barriers to where we were meant to go, to the parents we were meant to be, to the husbands or wives that we know we should be, to the way in which we should operate within our finances, the way in which we serve other people, the next step that we're willing to take within our career, or the things that we need to quit in our career so that we can be better in some other facet of our lives. Or maybe the ways in which we've held back and played it safe when it's come to our faith and the steps that we know we're being called to take. But here's the question that we need to consider. The question that's necessary for every single one of us to wrestle with if we are going to break through these paper walls in every single one of our lives. The question is this: is it possible that the well-rehearsed reasons that you've lived with in your life are merely excuses? That the because's that you formulated in your mind are things that aren't really a real wall standing in front of you, but it's simply made of paper. Something that you're capable, if you choose to, of breaking through, plowing through, and experiencing something better. That this thing that's holding you back doesn't actually have the power to hold you back any longer. And you see, this very conversation is vital in every single one of our lives and for every single one of our stories for two distinct reasons. The first is this, is because what I believe with all of my heart is that in every single one of our lives, your life and my life, that every single one of us have something better waiting on the other side of that wall. Something better in our marriages, something better in our parenting, something better in our finances. Something better in our faith. Until we're willing to get serious about the question of, are those well-rehearsed reasons just excuses? We will continue to find ourselves paralyzed and stuck behind these paper walls that we've convinced ourselves are actual obstacles in our lives. But two, this conversation is important because if you're a Jesus follower, your ability and my ability to actually follow Jesus comes down to our willingness to face our excuses. Why? Because the longer we listen to the excuses in our lives, the more those excuses become bosses in our lives. And the more bosses we have in our lives that we are listening to, the less likely we are to be able to hear the voice of our Heavenly Father. Did you catch that? The more bosses we have in our lives and voices that we're listening to of the bosses that we've allowed into our lives, the less likely we are to be able to hear the voice of our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father that loves you, wants what's best for you, and wants something better for your future that lies on the other side of that paper wall. You see, following Jesus, if you haven't realized this already, will be full of all sorts of moments in which you will be called to take steps of risk, steps outside of your comfort zone. And every time you're met with an opportunity to take a risk or to step outside of your comfort zone, you know what that opportunity will be accompanied by? An excuse. There will be an excuse waiting on the other side of that opportunity, attempting to convince you that it's just not worth it. It's just not the right time. And if we can be ridiculously honest, the voice of that excuse comes directly from your enemy. That as much as God loves you and wants what's best for you, there's an enemy who wants to keep you trapped and paralyzed behind that paper wall. And the longer we stay trapped behind our excuses, the more we will miss out on the rich and satisfying life that our God came to this earth in an attempt to get us to live out in our own lives. There is a rich and satisfying life waiting for you, no matter who you are, how many mistakes you've made, how far gone you feel, how long you've been trapped behind this paper wall. There is a rich and satisfying life waiting for you on the other side of that. And I want to be clear about this. I did not say perfect life. I did not say everything's going to go the way that you planned it all the time, but I did say rich and satisfying with purpose. And I think what we would all attest to if we were forced to get honest is, don't you want a rich and satisfying life? Don't you want something just a little bit better than what you're presently living? In some facet of your life, you can see and admit to that there is better than what you're presently experiencing. But here's what's incredible. The God of the universe who wants what's best for us and loves us immensely also knew that there was this penchant that existed inside of every single one of us. He knew Ben Carver so well that he understood that in my life, when faced with opportunities, what would begin to rise up inside of me is to offer reasons that are really just excuses, that are really just lies that I continue to tell myself. And so when he put on flesh and stepped onto the pages of history, not only did he display his reckless kind of love by dying on a cross for you and I, and then 3 days later coming back to life, but also in his time here on earth, he began to speak directly into those things in our lives that he knew we needed to rid ourselves of, that we needed to leave behind for the sake of our better future. That ultimately, our God, when he put on flesh and stepped onto the pages of history, was willing to nudge and challenge the excuses of our lives to get us to move towards something better. Not in an attempt to hurt our feelings, but in an attempt to help us, you and I, get unstuck from where we were behind these paper walls. You see, one of those such moments in which Jesus makes it clear that he wanted us to move out from behind the excuses of our lives into something better came at a moment in which Jesus was having a conversation with a mass of people. And amongst this conversation, Jesus got this brilliant idea that he was going to offer this life-altering invitation to the people who were standing there having this conversation, listening to Jesus talk. And so in the midst of this conversation, he decides to offer this life-altering, life-changing invitation to them. And upon their responses, what we begin to see is the plight of humanity rise to the surface in a couple of guys' lives. We see this very moment taking place in an account written by a guy named Luke. Just a few weeks ago in our Investigating Jesus series, we talked about Luke extensively and investigating this account of Luke to prove the validity of Jesus. And today we dive back into Luke's account and we pick up this incredible story of Jesus making this invitation, and we see a response that when we read it on paper, we're like, how could they? But if you and I were placed in the exact same situation, we may just come up with our own excuses as well. In Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 59, here is how this moment goes. He, meaning Jesus, said to another person, "Come, follow me." The man agreed, but he said, "Lord, first, let me return home and bury my father." Now, at face value, this request, this reason, seems pretty reasonable. Am I right? I mean, when I read this, this is where my mind immediately goes. I process this through 21st century American standards. This guy's father must have just passed away, like within hours, and he's simply making the request to Jesus, "Can I go home?" Like, it's probably a Friday, they're having this conversation. That means calling hours on Tuesday and funeral on Wednesday. So he's literally just asking Jesus for a few days to go take care of this, and then he'll follow Jesus. But what we miss is historical context, because that's not how it worked in ancient Roman world. We see this displayed when Jesus, our Savior, died on the cross, right? There was no like, all right, take him down off the cross, let's embalm him, let's keep him someplace for a few days, then we'll have the calling hours on a Tuesday and we'll plan the funeral on a Wednesday. No, in ancient Roman world, when you died, it was immediate. You died, you were taken from where you passed away, and you were immediately taken to your grave, and it was all said and done. So this guy is not asking for that, because that's not how it works in the ancient Roman world. When we look at historical context, this is what's actually taking place. This man is saying, "I have a father, I have parents, and it's my responsibility to care for them when they get older. And so Jesus, here's what I'm asking you for. I'm going to take care of some of my responsibilities, some of the commitments that I've already made. And then when all of that is said and done, like in a year or 5 years, I'll catch up with you, Jesus, and then I'll start following you. Let's circle back to this moment, Jesus, when I got a few less things on my calendar, and then we'll make it happen." And upon that reason, this was Jesus' response. But Jesus told him, "Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God." You see, Jesus looked at this man and he said, there is this unprecedented opportunity before you. There is this invitation to something better on the other side of this paper wall in your life. And yet what you fail to recognize is that with the opportunities you have in life, they are here today and gone tomorrow. You have one opportunity to seize them, and you're going to let this pass you by. You know that you've been called to something, and you're creating these excuses to delay the best that God has for you. Think of how this guy's life would have changed if he would have become one of the disciples that followed Jesus. And yet he seemed to have what for most of us would have been a reasonable reason. But upon hearing this guy say, well, someday, Jesus, I'll get around to that, there was another brave soul in the audience who thought, hey, this would be a good time for me to raise my hand and for me to say, Jesus, I'm ready to follow you right now. And so upon hearing this man's response, another guy said, yes, Lord, I will follow you. And I just got to imagine, like, work with the squirrels happening in my head, right? He like gets this brave moment and he shoots his hand up. He's like, yes, I'll follow you. And then he gets this like, oh crap moment of like, uh-oh, I stepped out there and I said, but I just remembered I had something else I needed to do as well. But first, I'm not asking for as much time as this guy, just a little less. But first, let me say goodbye to my family. Another seemingly reasonable reason. But Jesus doubles down on his strong response. This is what he says. But Jesus told him, "Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." You see, Jesus takes this monstrous step out there and challenges, nudges this guy to rethink his reasons, his excuses. And to give you some context of exactly what Jesus is saying here, in the ancient Jewish world, each of these people listening in the audience most likely would have had some experience at farming. In the ancient Jewish world, you would farm and plow your own land. If you know anything about the ancient sort of Middle Eastern world, the soil was incredibly rocky. And so plowing through that initially to plant your crop was a very difficult task. And so here's how they would do that. They would essentially place or pick a marker in the distance that would create a straight line for the plow, because you needed to create straight lines to maximize your plot of land. And so you wanted everything to be exactly straight, planted in straight line, and then you would maximize the land and everything would grow appropriately. So they'd place a marker, and then as you were plowing by hand, you would keep your eye fixed on the marker. And keeping your eye fixed on the marker as you were plowing would ensure that you would make a straight line. But as you can imagine, right, you've done this before. You begin to look in the rearview mirror of your car, or you begin to look out your side window, and what happens as you're driving? For anyone who was plowing and they looked back to check something out behind them, what they would quickly realize, especially in the rocky Middle Eastern soil, is this: oh no, we've gotten offline. Oh no, we veered out and now the line isn't straight, and so here's what we have to do. We have to go back and we have to start all over again. And Jesus was challenging this guy, looking 2,000 years into the future and challenging me and you as well. You're unwilling to go all in, to press through and bust through this paper wall in your life, in your story, in your marriage, in your faith. And because you're unwilling to go all in, you'll get left behind. You'll miss out on the very best for your future that I have for you. And don't get me wrong, y'all. To every single one of Jesus' listeners, what he said would have seemed harsh. It's the very reason why scholars do not debate whether or not Jesus said this. Because anybody trying to paint Jesus in a favorable light would not have placed these words in his mouth. These dudes were making reasonable requests, and this is the challenge that Jesus lays down for them. But here is the incredible truth about our Savior, our God. While those challenges might have seemed harsh, he loves you and I too much to allow us to continue to be a slave to our excuses. He loves you too much to allow you to continue to be a slave to your excuses in your life. And maybe the question that can change everything when it comes to the way that you look at and process through your reasons is this: that if you're a Jesus follower, what would change about the way you look at the reasons you've given for not busting through the wall, not taking the next step, if you found yourself asking this? How would Jesus respond to my reasons? How would Jesus respond to the reasons of my life that I continue to give, that keep me trapped and paralyzed behind this paper wall? You see, can I pose an additional question to you? What if the God of the universe actually knew what was on the other side of that wall in our lives? What if the God of the universe actually knew that there was something better waiting for us? And it's the very reason why, in his great love for us, he's willing to nudge us, challenge us in such intense ways. And you're saying, why does Jesus have to be so extreme, so intense in his challenge of these guys and ultimately in my life? Because God loves you intensely. He loves you too much to leave you where you are. Because the God of the universe knows what lies in waiting on the other side of that wall. And he wants desperately for you to have the courage to bust through it and to begin to experience his best on the other side of that wall. Might he challenge you to be courageous enough to ditch the excuses? And might he do so in the most Jesus way possible, by challenging you and I to ditch the excuses by telling us a parable, a story that perfectly encompasses what we're walking through, and then challenges us to push through the difficulty to experience something better. You see, there's a day where Jesus looked out into the crowd, much a similar moment to what we experienced in Luke chapter 9. Jesus looks out into the crowd and says, he's looking out to you and I some 2,000 years later as well. And he begins to tell this story about a wealthy ruler. A wealthy ruler who's going on a trip. And upon preparing for this lengthy trip that he's taking, he decides to entrust some of his servants, three to be exact, with some of his wealth. And entrusting his three servants with this immense wealth that he has, we see three different responses on the back end of this opportunity. And when I tell this parable that Jesus told some 2,000 years ago, some of you are going to think, Ben, I've heard this before. And I get that. But what if this time, when you and I listen to this story that Jesus tells, what if we listen to this story through the lens of our excuses? What if this time we chose to listen to this story just a little bit differently? In Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 23, here is how the parable continues. The wealthy ruler returns back home, and he discovers the first two servants, of which he has entrusted some of his great wealth with, have ultimately taken the opportunity, seen the risk, and punched through the paper walls that are in front of them. They have eradicated the excuses, the lies of their life, and they've gone out and done something with what has been entrusted to them, the gifts that have been given to them. And upon learning what the first two servants have done, this is the wealthy ruler's response. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities." Let's celebrate together. There is immense excitement from the wealthy ruler, and if you haven't realized this before, every time Jesus tells a parable, he's ultimately attributing different characters in the story to our relationship with our Heavenly Father. The wealthy ruler being God, the servants being us. There was immense risk for each of you first two servants, and yet you took the risk and you handled these small responsibilities with great maturity and great courage. So now I will give you more responsibility. Let's celebrate together. But after he celebrates with the first two servants, he comes to the third servant. And upon asking about the money that had been entrusted to this third servant, Here is the response that he gets from the third guy. Then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate." Let's stop right there just for a moment so we can all be on the same page and understand together. Here, before even giving his answer of what had happened to the money, do you see what the third servant is doing? He's placing blame back on the wealthy ruler. The reason why I didn't punch through the paper walls of my life is actually because of you. You were shrewd. You were wealthy. You harvested where you hadn't planted. And I knew that. And when I knew that and I started to think about that, here's what happened. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back. And I don't know about y'all, right? I told you about my squirrels already, but I'm like, he didn't even lose the money, right? He didn't steal the money. He just gave back what he had been given. Is it really that bad? But ultimately, this guy, upon shifting blame and upon admitting there was this opportunity in front of me and I remained paralyzed, I just buried the gift that I was given, hoping not to lose it. Upon walking through all of the excuses, we see the real reason why he was unwilling to punch through the paper wall. It comes down to one word. I was afraid. I was afraid of what might happen. And so I didn't. You see, so often what we miss is that the root of every excuse is fear. More often than not, fear that we haven't dealt with, fear that we haven't acknowledged, fear that we don't want to admit to. I'm not scared. It wasn't fear. And we continue to lie about the very things that are holding us back from punching through those walls. It's fear that we continue to refuse to acknowledge in our lives. And upon hearing this fear that had held him back, this is how the master replies. The master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you at least deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." You lazy servant. Deep down before we even started, you knew. He says that, right? You knew what would happen. You knew the opportunity that was in front of you. You knew what would happen if you were paralyzed behind this paper wall. But you still believed the lies you were telling yourself. And then he finishes in this way. "Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You see, this is what Jesus is saying. If you make excuses, you will go to hell. That's not what Jesus is saying. It just got serious in here, y'all. Now, Jesus is ultimately saying this, that if you make excuses in your life, he uses this term, you will go into outer darkness. This is essentially what Jesus is saying. You will live your life outside of my will for you, outside of the very best that I have for you. And it'll feel like darkness, that you won't know where to go next or what you're supposed to do next. And then he says this, "And when you live outside of my will for your life, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is what Jesus means. You will live a life that is full of regrets, wondering all the while, why didn't I take the step? Why wasn't I courageous enough? Why didn't I push through? Why didn't I acknowledge the lies and the fears that existed that had kept me paralyzed and from experiencing the very best that God already knew was there on the other side of that paper wall? See, Jesus loves you so incredibly that he was willing to step out and say something so intense, something so seemingly harsh in an attempt to move you and I towards something better. Better than something better. To move you and I towards his best. The one who created us, created the world, knows what's best, y'all. And he is attempting to move you and I towards what's best and what lies on the other side of that wall. You see, all of us have fear, and this morning I'm going to propose something ridiculous. What if when it comes to our lives and the next steps we're being called to take, what if it wasn't so much that we ditched the fear in our lives, but that we re-prescribed the fear to something different in our lives? What if instead of carrying fear around of what could go wrong, why this isn't the right time, what if we began to fear missing out on what we could be and should be in our lives and in our futures? What if we began to fear missing out on what we could do and should do for the people and the world around you? What would change if we re-prescribed our fears in that way from this day forward? What if we began to fear simply continuing to live our lives behind that paper wall? This paper wall that robs you of a better life, a better world, and ultimately the paper walls that rob the world of you, of the best version of you. That each of you are capable of changing this world, and we continue to be paralyzed behind this wall. The world is robbed of that best version of us that was called to change it for the better. You see, the good news is always this, that God loves you right where you are. But where the good news becomes great is when we couple that truth with the second part of the equation. That you have a God who not only loves you so much to meet you right where you are, you have a God that loves you enough to not leave you where you are. To try to move you from where you are into something better. To push aside the becauses, the reasons, the excuses, the lies. For the sake of your marriage. For the sake of your parenting. For the sake of your relationships. For the sake of your finances. For the sake of your career. And what's near and dear to my heart, for the sake of your faith. And so maybe the question that we need to ask ourselves is this. When it comes to the paper walls in our lives, are we ready and willing to confront them? When it comes to the paper walls in our lives, are we courageous enough to bust through them? Trusting, we have a God who loved us enough to send his only son to die for us. A God who also loves us enough to know what's on the other side of that paper wall. And because he knows, he's simply trying to push you to experience that best. Are you willing to leave the fear behind and experience what's on the other side of that wall? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for who you are. The epitome of your love can be described in this one sentence, that you are a God who loves us right where we are. That doesn't fully encapsulate how much you love us. Not only do you love us right where we are, but you love us too much to leave us where we are. You want us to experience something better. So God, today, Each of us individually, only we know what that next step is, that thing that we've been pushing off, that excuse we keep using, the reasonable reasons that we keep attributing to our lives and the reason why we stay stuck. Only we know what those are in our lives. And yet, God, I believe with all of my heart, every single one of us have one, at least one. Goodness, I think every single one of us have at least one when it just comes to our faith. Take out the equation, our parenting, our marriages, our finances, our careers. And so God, my prayer this morning for every single one of us is that we'll be courageous enough to acknowledge what those reasons are and then courageous enough to take a step to bust through them, trusting that you love us, you know what's on the other side of that wall, and you want us to experience that. And so God, help us. It's in your name. This morning, with all eyes still closed, all heads still bowed. And one of the things that I believe with all of my heart is this. Is that being able to trust God, know that he loves us and wants what's best for us, is best done when we begin a relationship with him. Knowing what he's done for us on the cross, knowing what he's done to that grave and walking out of it gives us a sense of confidence over our fears. That if my God knows what's on the other side of that wall and wants what's best for me, I can be confident enough to bust through it. But it starts by me saying yes to that kind of God, having a relationship with that kind of God. So this morning, maybe you've kept God at an arm's length, and yet when you look at your life, you see a whole lot of excuses and not much confidence. Because up until this point, you really haven't known this God who is for you, a God who's nudging you through that wall towards something better. And yet today, it's your day to say yes. If that's you, saying yes is as simple as this. It's as simple as just repeating this prayer in your own heart, right there where you sit, after me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. I thank you for meeting me right where I am. In my brokenness, and my mistakes, and I've definitely had a few. But God, you sent your son for me. That's how much you loved me. That's how much you are for me. And so today, because of that incredible love, I'm saying yes to you. I'm admitting I need you. I'm asking you into my life. Asking you into my story, asking you to help me overcome the fears that have dominated my life. Thank you for loving me that much. It's in your name that I pray. Amen.